Well, praise God. Go ahead. Go. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's get into the Word, y'all. This is number 5 in the Controlling Your Soul series. Controlling Your Soul, number 5. Open it up to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to start there today. Controlling Your Soul. It's been a series that I've enjoyed, whether anybody else has, I don't know. I don't really care when the Lord tells me to minister a message. Sometimes you remember when you were a kid and your mom made some kind of vegetable and said, you're not leaving the table till you eat it? Mm-hmm. I never had an issue there. I ate everything in sight, you know. Now, Pastor John, he spent many a night at the table. It just, yeah, well, we won't go there. Romans chapter 8. Let me tell you, the title of the message today is Let the Holy Spirit Rule. Let the Holy Spirit Rule. Is that not a good thing? I mean, there's not a one of us in here that don't need to let the Holy Spirit rule in our lives. Amen. Now, in Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin there in verse number 11. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11 says, But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Do you see that? Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, literally himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, in this series, we've been talking about the three parts that comprise man. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. So you could say that you are a three-part person, and tripartite, if you will. And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe, that verse of Scripture. Let me just give you the reference to that. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, was it verse 27? 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 tells us that we are three parts, spirit, soul, and body. We have been talking about the fact that whoever controls your soul. Your soul is the mind, will, and emotions. Whoever controls your soul will control your destiny. Why is that? Because in your mind, will, and emotions, you make choices. You choose. You make choices. And if something or somebody is influencing your soul to the degree that you're making choices based on what they are telling you, they can, in fact, control your destiny. The Lord wants to be the one who puts that into your thoughts, tells you what he wants you to do, has control over your mind, will, and emotions. There's one, your body, your flesh, is vying to gain control of your soul. So is your spirit man. Your spirit man wants to be the one that, by the Holy Spirit, has control there. That's why we called this series Controlling Your Soul. And sad to say, a lot of people have their body and their flesh controlling their mind, will, and emotions. The thoughts that they have tend toward the flesh, the things of the body, the things that bring pleasure. And the enemy uses that. The enemy will speak into that and speak through your flesh. It's amazing. So you've got this war going on. And as I said in earlier messages, your mind is the tipping point. Your mind is the area that can go either way. with God or against God. Your mind can fall in line with the word of God, or your mind can think on all sorts of ungodly things. It is, again, an area that you make a decision in. Which way are you going to go today? So, the title is Let the Holy Spirit Rule, and we are going to talk about the importance of letting the Holy Spirit in and through our spirit rule over our thoughts. And there's a way to deal with the deeds of the body that are constantly trying to pull you into that area. You know, we call them vices, we call them habits, whatever they may be. These things are going on, and that attack is ongoing. And I don't care who you are, how old you are, how long you've been in the things of God, you are all subject to the same temptations. The Bible says that Jesus himself was tempted in every point, like as we are, yet was without sin. Well, that's the example we want to follow, amen? You mean to tell me you think you can go through life without sinning? Every time a person sins, it's because they made a choice to sin. You don't just automatically default into sin. You know, we've discussed this every time you get ready to enter into something that is some kind of behavior that's not consistent with the word of God. There's an argument that goes on in your thoughts. You really ought not to do that. You shouldn't think like that. You shouldn't talk like that. You shouldn't go over there. And your flesh is going, yeah, but it'll be all right. You know, everyone else is doing it. It's just the way it is. You can't help it. And your spirit and your flesh are battling here. And the place where that's taking place is right here in your thoughts. That self-talk that takes place. So if you can be quiet when a temptation to do something that you've fallen into time and again begins to happen, if you will sit still and listen to the excuse that your body's trying to make to justify what you're about to do, that will tell you and illuminate to you that area of the word you need to get into to negate that. One of them is you just can't help it. You need that. You have to do that. You can't resist that. Well, then I would suggest that if that's what you're hearing and that's what you're feeling and you feel hopeless about resisting the devil about that particular temptation, then get in there and start doing some study regarding authority, regarding resisting the devil. And really, you know, what you have done is entered into a place of buying a lie. And it's a misbelief. You're believing something that is not true. You can't help yourself. That's a lie. Now somebody say, well, that's easy for you to say. I'm in the same boat you are. There's not a one of us that aren't subject to the same things. And just because a person, a man or a woman, is anointed to teach the word doesn't mean they're anointed to live it. I have to live it just like you. I have to make the choice to resist just like you. You know something that's interesting? Jesus made the choice to resist. If he was tempted in every point like as I've been, oh, I could make a list of sins this long that I've been tempted to do. So could you. Guess what? He was tempted in those same areas, but he never gave in. Very, very important. He never gave in. He resisted. He was God in the flesh. Well, yes, he was. But guess who lives and dwells on the inside of us? God. By his Holy Spirit. Amen? So you have authority over sin. You have authority over the flesh. You have authority over the devil. You know, really, I mean, God could say it this way. He could say, don't complain to me if you're not going to use the stuff I've given you. You don't want to resist. I'm not going to resist for you. You can make a choice. I'm not going to resist for you. And that really is the bottom line. How many of y'all have told your children not to do certain things? Okay. And if you haven't, it's coming. So, yeah. I know you probably have. Now, you can't do that. And she's like, she's going to grab this. Has she pulled an earring off yet or had a pair of... She bit you. Oh. She doesn't have any teeth, does she? No, well, that's an okay bite. You know, it's like I remember turning back to give Austin his bottle when he was a baby, and it was on a Friday afternoon at about 5:15, and I remember I was going someplace, and he was with me, and I had a bottle, and he's like, he wanted it, so I reached back like that, and when I did, he reached forward for the bottle, but he saw my glasses, and he grabbed them and just pulled them and bent them, you know. One eye was up like this, and the other, you know, and here it is, 5:15 on a Friday. I, you know, I can see with that, yeah. It's like, oh, my, how can you yell at a baby? You just don't. Now, if it had been when he's, you know, 23 years old like he is now, we would have had something else to say. But anyway, I just swung into this shopping center, and the person that had this store or the glasses place happened to still be there. They were only open till 5, and fixed my glasses for me very kindly. Didn't charge me either, so praise God. But the thing is, with children, you know, you tell children not to do something, and you say you shouldn't do this, don't do it. How many of y'all know there are times that you were told to not do something when you were a kid? And yes, Tom's first to raise his hand, and Chris, you too. And you did it anyway. You turned right around and did it anyway. Well, the fact is people choose. They choose whether they're going to obey or not. And at some point, you know, the parent can't make the child do it. Can't make you. You know, when they're little enough, you can make them get dressed. You can put them in a headlock and put their shirt on them. Well, that's kind of hard. But anyway, the you know, whatever you have to do, one of you hold the feet and the other one put the shoes on them. I mean, you know, it's like you get them dressed, you make them do some things. Really, in reality, you get them to the place where they want to do it and be obedient. And that comes through example. But it's very important that you show a good example to your children. We have an excellent example in our Father here in the Word. When we look at Jesus, he set an example. The Bible even talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 2, that he left us an example or an ensample, the King James says, for us to follow. Do you want your children following your example? Yeah, in a lot of ways. Are there some areas you could say, I don't think I want them doing that? You know, if that's the case, then the example needs to change. Well, amen. That's really fun preaching, Pastor Dan. Thank you. So last week we talked about girding up the loins of your mind. Do you remember that? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, write it down. We're not going there, but that is the verse of Scripture that Peter, writing by the Holy Spirit, said to gird up the loins of your mind. The loins are the seat of procreative power, right? The ability to reproduce is in the loins. Now, he says, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, the word gird there is an interesting word. It means prepare. And you'll recall when, back in Bible days, when a man needed to run, and he had on a robe or what have you. And it's this way, too. If the dog gets out the door and you got your robe on in the morning and you try to run out after it and your legs are getting caught in the robe, anybody with me? You're on your own. Okay. So it would be, be best if you cinched that thing up so you can run. Amen? To gird up the loins meant to pull the skirt up and then they'd tie it off with a leather belt. Soldiers would even do that. And, you know, when we are told to gird up the loins of our mind, it means prepare. Prepare. We talked about the law of the mind and how the law of the mind is a law that the Bible said in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, the law of sin was constantly coming against the law of Paul's mind. if the law of sin is coming against the law of the mind, which one's of God and which one's of the devil? It ought to be pretty easy. The law of sin is of the devil. Appreciate that. The law of the mind is something God placed in man. And the law of the mind says that whatever you put into your thoughts and meditate on will produce images. Have you noticed that? Amen. If you think about something, I'm telling you, you read the Word of God and you start thinking on the Word, you'll start having images formed in you about, you know, the Bible says they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, right? And you read that in the Word? The law of the mind says when that seed is sown into your mind is likened to your loins and will reproduce, but not a child, but an image. And back in Genesis 11, the people at the Tower of Babel, when they got into agreement, the Lord had to go in and confuse the language because he said nothing is, will be held back from them. So you and I, when we put the Word in our thoughts, you need to start seeing yourself as God sees you. You start putting that Word in. Some of you suffer from low self-esteem. Well, low self-esteem just means you need a better picture in you of what God sees you as. Doesn't matter if you drool on yourself. Well, I suppose it does ultimately. You don't really want to do that. But the fact is, you embarrass yourself. You do something. Have you ever tripped in public and felt so stupid? Well, who hasn't tripped? Lakin is the only one in here who hasn't tripped because she's not walking yet. I know it, and I'm enjoying it. Every one of us have tripped, slipped, maybe even fallen. Gail, you mentioned that yesterday on that black ice years ago. Yeah, it hurts. But you do something, you embarrass yourself. You're talking to somebody and spit flies out of your mouth. Everybody has spit, whether you want to be real proper or not. Everybody does. It's part of the way God made you, and sometimes it flies. And when it flies, it can be embarrassing, especially if there's a chunk of food with it. You always have to go there, don't you, Pastor Dan? Yeah, I do. Thank you. I'm sorry. She says, I don't do solid food yet, and I'm hungry, now that you mention it. Oh, that's what we have a nursery for, praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Cry of a newborn baby. She's not just newborn, but she's, that's like, praise God. So when those images are formed in you, back on the embarrassment thing, there's no reason to formulate your self-image about who you are based on something that you've done that was embarrassing or something somebody said about you. They say, I'm fat or I'm ugly or I talk stupid. My voice sounds funny when I talk, or my laugh is what, people make up all sorts of stuff and can be very cruel. And that can start way back in grade school when kids pick on each other and do that kind of garbage. That shouldn't be, because it can cause an individual to have thoughts formed in their mind that they might stay there till they're 30 years old. Because somebody said something about you when you were a kid, and the law of the mind grabbed that. And that's what's interesting about the law of the mind. The mind will grab good things and bad things and reproduce it and paint images. And you walk around seeing yourself as something less than, good enough. You're not ever quite good enough. Everybody else is a little better than you all the time. Now, we shouldn't try to compete with one another, but what we do need to do is get into the Word and find out what God says we are. see ourselves through the Word of God. I will only say what God says about me. His word only will I speak. Because I'm a winner. I remember when I had that revelation about the word regarding my self-image. It struck me one day, and it just so happened that song I just quoted to you, those words, Ron Brown and I were driving to Oklahoma City. I'm sure he doesn't remember this, but we're going down I-35, and I remember that revelation hit me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, we were talking about something, and it just hit. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, I've never forgotten that. And I am, through the blood, clean. And God loves me. Whether I slobber on myself or, you know, whatever, trip, what, it doesn't matter. God loves me. And I'll tell you something today. Your Father loves you. And you don't have anything to prove to anybody. So get over it. You need to walk in love with your Heavenly Father and watch what He will do. And the, you know, you can, when you get around a person that's confident in who they are, things don't bother them. There was a time in my life that I couldn't stand up in front of people because I was scared stiff to do it. And I was embarrassed about some things about me. And after you start to see yourself as God sees you, those things go away. It doesn't happen overnight for the most part. But insecurity is just a lack of security in who you are and a lack of security regarding your Father loving you. And I'll tell you something right now. He loves you so much, He gave His only Son for you. And He would have done it for just you, even if the rest of the world, He would have done it for just one of us. That's how much He loves us. Oh, we praise God for that. Amen. So last week, we also talked about imagining and meditating being the same word in the Hebrew language that's used in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. And if you want to flip back over there right quick, let's do that, and then we're going to get into the meat of the message. This is just a little bit of review. Psalm 1, and verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. Do you see that? Day and night. In his law or in his word doth he meditate. Hebrew word dagah, you remember that? I said you could think of doggone, but it's dagah. In his law or in his word doth he meditate, or does he meditate day and night? Jump down to Psalm 2. Look at verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The word for imagine is the very same Hebrew word, dagah. So you could say imagine and meditate. They're the same thing here. When you begin to imagine, what is that? The word sown into your thoughts, and you begin seeing yourself laying hands on the sick. You begin seeing yourself. You begin seeing yourself casting out the enemy, casting out the devil. In the name of Jesus. I've got somebody else preaching with me, but that's okay. Thank you, Lord. So meditating and imagining are the same word. What are you meditating on today? What are you imagining about your life? Where do you see yourself being? Now, do it according to the word. Do it according to the word. I see myself in a mansion with a Ferrari on the driveway. I see this. I see that. You know, no, wait a minute. Is that really the word? Or is that possibly now the law of the mind's being influenced by the flesh? God doesn't mind you having a Ferrari. If that, you know, that's not, it's not a sin to have a nice car. But the fact is, where is your mindset? And I would suggest that you get into the Word. God wants to bless you. I'm going to say right now, there are some pickups out there on the road that cost as much as some of those Ferraris out there. Seriously, there are. There are. And, you know, you... I was next to one yesterday at the car wash, and I guarantee you the big 4x4 fancy, I think it was $75,000 easy. Well, you know, you can buy a used Ferrari now. Okay, all right. For less than $75,000. So anyway, the problem is when you need to go get a tune-up. That's the problem. Yeah. So let's go on into this the message, the brunt of this, because we need to allow the Holy Spirit to rule in us. In 1 John chapter 3, turn over there, and we will take a look at something I want you to see. When a person is born again, John chapter 3, you remember Jesus saying to Nicodemus that a man that must be born again or he'll not see the kingdom of God. Y'all remember that? Verily I say unto you that ye must be born again. Well, here in 1 John chapter 3, isn't it interesting? John chapter 3, now this is 1 John chapter 3. In verse number 8, the Bible says, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, let's just stop there for a second. We just quoted to you out of John chapter 3 where Jesus said a man must be born again. Now the question is, or the statement is being made that whosoever is born of God, you could say whosoever has been born again, right? Because Nicodemus made the statement, can a man enter into his mother's womb again and be born a second time? The answer to that is absolutely not. No. But spiritually speaking, you can be reborn. And that happens regarding the spirit of man. Amen? Amen? Now, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, when it says, whosoever is born of God, let me ask you, of those three parts that man is comprised of that we found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, when I talked about spirit, soul, and body, what part of those three is born of God? It is the spirit. The spirit of man is what is recreated or born again. That's the real you, the spirit. The mind is not born of God. You'll figure that out a few minutes after you got saved, when you had a thought that was contrary to the word of God, when you had a nasty thought of some sort. Tells you right there, it's not, that's not, that's, that needs some work. Right? Amen. Your body's not born of God. You didn't lose 25, 30 pounds the minute you got saved and suddenly you're ripped again and you're cut and, you know, and now you fit into that dress, ladies, that you hadn't fit into for 10 years. And, you know, instantly, no, your body's not born of God. Your mind's not born of God. The only thing that was born of God was your spirit, man. So now here it starts. The spirit is born again. I was reading in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 and 27 this morning. That he'll take out of you a heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, and then he'll place his spirit into man, is what he said. He'll send his spirit. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. So that whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Do you see that? So you don't sin in your spirit, man. That's what it's pointing at. You don't sin in your spirit, man. You sin in your mind. The body has actions that will follow the thought life, but in your spirit, man, you don't sin. So, let's run with that for a moment. That's where God lives. That's where God is dwelling. That's where the Lord resides inside of man, is in his or her spirit. The real you is the spirit. You can only see a little bit of the real me, and you have to look into my eyes to see it, right? The eyes, the Bible says, are the window to the soul. Well, there are times that that word there can translate into the spirit. Now, so when you look into a person's eyes, you can tell if they're lying to you or not, right? Y'all there? Did you go home? Oh, we're snoozing. I see some Z's. Wouldn't that be funny if when you start to fall asleep, a Z starts floating above your head? Oh, look at him. You know, I have fun myself up here, you know. I just laugh at my own jokes because you don't, so I don't really care. I just figure, what the heck, you know. Praise God. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit dwells in man's spirit or lives in man's spirit. Proverbs 20, verse 27, what did that verse say? I'll quote it to you. So it says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Now what that means is that the Lord will use your spirit to bring illumination or revelation or light, understanding, okay? So he's going to do that because that's wherein he resides. He's going to speak into and through your spirit man. It's that way. The spirit is born again. That's where he resides. Go to Romans chapter 8. Go back there. We were there in the beginning. And I want to show you a verse of scripture. The Holy Spirit bears witness. In verse 16, it says the spirit itself or himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And it is a how can I put it? He, in your spirit, man, speaks. It's probably the easiest way to put it. He will speak in your spirit. The voice of the spirit is what? It's the conscience. Write that down. Because the voice of the spirit, your human spirit, is your conscience. Does anybody have a conscience in here? You know what I'm talking about? We're talking about conscience, okay? You go in somewhere, and, I could eat one of those grapes, you know, nobody's looking. Don't kid yourself. There are cameras everywhere. But besides that, God's looking, amen? I could grab one of those grapes and just eat it, you know, no big deal. No harm, no foul. But your conscience goes, no, you pay for that, right? You don't take something that you don't pay for. It's called stealing. And your conscience would bother you. That's the voice of the human spirit. And if you're born again, the conscience is a very, very safe guide because the Lord will use that voice to speak to you. What's the voice of the mind? Write it down. Reason. So if you're not listening to your conscience and you begin to listen to the voice of the mind, now you reason out why that grape is worth probably half a penny. They've got how many of them here? Walmart can afford it. All the excuse, right? That's the voice of the mind, which is reason. What's the voice of the body? It's a growling in your stomach. Okay, now it's feelings, what it is. And now if you're listening to that, you're liable to take a whole bunch and eat it. Amen. So what we want to do and where we want to arrive at is letting the Holy Spirit have the rule in our spirit man so as to affect our mind and overcome the deeds that the body's always wanting to do. The body wants to go have sex with whoever it can have sex with. The body wants to go and drink. The body wants to do drugs. The body wants to overeat. The body wants to sleep instead of getting up and going to church. The body wants to do this, that, and the other that runs contrary to the Word of God. The body wants to lie, wants to steal, it wants to cheat. I mean, you can go right down the line. And there are some people that are just fulfilling every desire that their body comes up with. Because their mind's not being controlled by the Word of God that has been placed into their spirit and consequently into their thoughts. And they are not giving place to the Spirit of God. They're giving place to the voice of the flesh, the feelings, the lusts, the things that go right along with it. This is where we live. Now, I know sometimes people think, well, I don't know about all this. You know, I'm just a person. Yeah, you're a three-part person. And it's time that we get some understanding of these three areas and how it actually works. I'll guarantee you there are Christians running all over Stillwater, all over Oklahoma, all over this country, throughout the world, that don't understand what we're talking about today. And they just go on and on, and I just can't help myself, and I just go, well, what are you going to do, you know? And don't understand the importance of the law of the mind, the putting the word into their thoughts, the saying no and disciplining your body, for crying out loud. Start to tell it no. Getting a lot of amens today, Lord. I mean, this is a... Where were we? Okay. Colossians chapter 3. Just turn, leave a finger in Romans 8, or a marker. Or don't leave one finger in there. I mean, that might be a problem. Colossians 3. We're going to read a couple scriptures here, and I want you to see something, because the deeds of the body are a real issue. They're a real issue. Why do you suppose there are people caught in all sorts of things? Because of the deeds of the body and the voice of the flesh that's so loud. And then the body begins to like what it's having and like where it's going. And then that overpowers the voice of the Holy Spirit in your spirit. And before you know it, people are walking in things they shouldn't walk in. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand, you see this? Of God. Verse 2, this is for us, believers. Set your affection, or set your mind, the Greek reads set your mind, and keep it set on things above, not on things on the earth.
That's easy for you to say.
Are you kidding me? Again, we're all in the same boat. Set your affection on things above, or set your mind and keep it set on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, when you received Jesus, you identified with his death, burial, and then his resurrection in new life. So when you accepted Jesus, the old man died. Just like Paul on the road to Damascus when he was Saul. You know, and the light appeared, boom, knocked him off his horse, gets up, he can't see, and, you know, most scholars agree, we can read it in the Word, that's where Paul got saved. And so that happened at that time, right there for him, and that man who did all the nasty things, held the coat of Stephen when Stephen was being stoned to death, stood there, a man named Saul held his coat, consenting to the whole thing. It was a brutal murder, is what that was. And yet he had the gall to say, I have wronged no man, in the book of Ephesians. Why? Why could he say that? Because the guy that did that died. The guy that stood there and held on that coat, that old man died. He was dead. When he received Jesus, he died. That old man, that heart of stone was taken out, and a new recreated spirit man put in. The man was born again. Old things pass away. All things become new. The Greek says you become something that never existed before. You're brand spanking new. Thank you. And I praise God for that too. Amen. So whatever you did in the past is forgiven and forgotten. Don't do it again. Just stay away from it. What did he tell Mary Magdalene? You remember how all they wanted to stone her? Brought her before Jesus. We caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Well, I've always wondered where in the world was the man that was with her. Like it's also just a woman? Takes two to tango. It's probably one of their buddies who got caught with his robe down. And they weren't about to bring Mr. Religious in front, because that would have been a disgrace for people to see. Well, who was she with? And why was she the one just only brought in? Why wasn't he brought in too to be stoned? Because under the law, he should have been stoned too. Sin is sin is sin. And you remember Jesus made that famous statement, you that is without sin, you throw the first stone. And they all one by one walked away. And Jesus looks up, she looked up and said, he said to her, where are your accusers? Well, they're not here. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. But here, look at this in chapter 3. Set your mind and keep it set on things above. Now, you can do that. That's that law of the mind again. Not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So this is an interesting verse, verse 5. Mortify, or deaden is what it reads in the Greek. Deaden, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. In other words, the old man did that stuff. So those same desires are going to try to rise up in you. The same sinful temptations are going to try to come back into your thoughts. Okay? So I don't care who you are. Things that the old man did are going to try to revisit. And when they do, you're told to mortify. How in the world are you going to deaden those things? There's only one way that you're going to deaden the things, the deeds of the body. And that is if you will allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you and literally to pray through you. I've witnessed this in my own personal life. The more time I spend praying in the Spirit, the more in tune I am with the Lord, and the more of an open channel, if you will, He has into my thought life. Anytime that your thoughts are overtaking you and temptations are overtaking you and this self-talk is going on and your mind is arguing with your spirit, you don't even realize what's going on, how your mind is arguing based on a fleshly temptation with the spirit who's trying to get you to get into the word and do the word, and this battle's going on and you're making excuses and believing something that's a lie. When that happens, I'm telling you, if you're praying in the Spirit, those temptations die. They die. And they come and you go, kidding me? The only time temptations ever really take root in a person is when they're being quiet and trying to think their way out of it. And you cannot think your way out of a temptation. You can't. You have to interrupt it. Interrupt it with the word. Amen. Speak the word. Okay, so it's not a temptation to go out and cheat on your husband or your wife. So it's a temptation to be afraid about a bad report regarding your finances or a sickness that you're fighting, whatever it may be. The temptation to worry is a sin too. And so you interrupt it. You interrupt it. You speak the word. You cannot think a temptation away. All you'll have is more self-talk. And you'll have this going on in your head. And you need to interrupt the whole process with, I resist you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. You want a key to overcoming things? That's it. That's it. I would suggest that if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and receive your prayer language. It's more than just a display in church. It is a weapon against the enemy. It's a weapon to help you to overcome the deeds of the flesh. It'll deaden and mortify the deeds of the body. Why do you suppose the devil has come along and said, that's not for you today? And he's had well-meaning preachers come along and tell you, that passed away with the apostles, don't you know? Because it says over here, First Church of the blank, blank, whatever it may be, and we don't believe in those spiritual things. God gave us tools to overcome. He gave you authority, but even with authority, if you don't have the power to back up what your authority that you have, your flesh is going to overrun you. I speak the truth. You have your finger in Romans 8 still? I've got a marker there so I can turn right back to it. But Romans 8, look at verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do, there it is again, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Deaden the deeds of the body. If you deaden the deeds of the body, do you hear me? You'll live. So there he talks about mortifying in Romans 8, verse 13, and in Colossians chapter 3, he talks about mortifying the deeds of the body in verse 5 and 6. There's a key there. I'm going to close with this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in fact, I need my Amplified to do this. I've got my phone today. How do you like that? I had my Amplified, and I was going to put it in my briefcase and bring it. But man, things like that fat, and it adds a bunch of weight, and I'm like, not going to do it. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 reads this way. For if I pray, sorry, John, I've got it. If I pray in an unknown tongue, listen to this. This is the Amplified of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Well, I'll tell you something. When you have God praying through you, oh boy, the mind is not going to be productive in that, okay? And you're not even going to know what you're saying unless you pray for the interpretation, and that is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 14 as well. But the fact of the matter is, what I want to show to you is that the Holy Spirit within you prays. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. So it's by the Holy Spirit, when you're praying in tongues, it's by the Holy Spirit in you. Now, I've got news for every good Baptist brother and sister, friends of mine. You have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling on the inside of you. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is what caused the new birth. And guess what? When you're filled with the Spirit, you don't get a second Holy Spirit. You already have the Holy Spirit. So what are you afraid of? I could ask that question to some of you. Are you afraid to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And it's like, okay, well, I might say something that sounds like baby talk. Have you reprimanded her yet for making sounds that sound like a baby? Have you? No? Have you corrected her for talking like a baby? Are you going to? No, why? Because she's a baby. What's the matter with you? Why aren't you forming full sentences? Would that freak you out if the first word she comes out and goes, "Hi, Mommy, I love you so much," you just, your hair would go, ding. Your beard would fall off, Chris. I mean, you guys, "Mommy, I really would like some hamburger for lunch," you know. No, she's going to go, "Ma," or "Da." That's, you know, that's the word it's going to start. Or in Austin's case, "Flag." Yeah, what was my first word, Mom? Fan. My first word? It was probably food, wasn't it? Yeah. It was probably
defeat the flesh.
Yeah. All right, enough of that tomfoolery. When you pray in tongues, the Bible says that you're edifying yourself. Jump down to verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 14. You are edifying yourself, and here's where we're going to end. When you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. Verse 4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Now, the edifying himself, you remember that word? Oikotameo. We get the word economy, economist, that kind of thing from it. What that word means there, where it talks about the oikotameo, it means that when you pray in tongues, you're edifying, but you're actually a house builder. You're building. The Holy Spirit praying through your human spirit is building the house. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain, correct? Well, I'll tell you something. Your house, it's talking about your life. When you pray in the Spirit, it's the Lord. Go ahead, stand to your feet. It's the Lord constructing and putting your life together for you, strengthening you. Do you hear me? I want him in control of things. The problem is most of us have been far too much in control of our own lives. And we have not yielded to his control. His control takes it out of your hand. Guess what? He's smarter than you. He's smarter than me. He's smarter. He knows the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is. So he knows whether you ought to take that job, or he knows whether you ought to go over there, or he knows if you ought to hook up with that person, or he knows all these things. And if you're not careful, your mind will steer you in the line with your body and get you into all sorts of trouble that it'll take the whole church to pray you out of. So this would be a good thing for you and I to grab a hold of and spend more time praying in the Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit build our life, letting the Holy Spirit edify us, charge us up. Let the Holy Spirit put the pieces together. Let him have the control. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you this day for the word. We thank you that we give and we will give the Holy Spirit the rule and the reign in our lives. Father, we don't want to be the ones in control. We want you in control. We want you to be able to speak into our lives where we hear it, our minds being renewed with that word, lifestyle being adjusted to flow with the things of God, and even our body gets to the place where it rejects ungodliness because it's so used to hanging with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in man's spirit, and the mind that's renewed with the word. The body's dictates of the flesh are being squelched so much because there's so much prayer going on, so much time with the Lord going on, the body doesn't even want to rebel anymore. It gets to that place where it's a whipped dog. And Father, we thank you today and praise you today. We thank you today that your word is alive in us, and each one of us are experiencing your glory and your power in our lives in a new and wonderful way. We thank you for it, sir. We give you glory for it today. Come on, in the name of Jesus, if you agree, say amen.